Hi, friends. This is Angie,
Becca,
Heather,
Bonnie,
your host of the Seasons Ministry podcast. And we are now in session 7 over the verses of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which have told us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And you may be wondering, well, we have covered each of those sections, so what is next? And we always want to bring this into practical terms, like trusting. We can say that with all our might, but then in the day-to-day, it can become really hard. So, Becca, what is one thing in when you were preparing for this session title, was unique but so necessary? So can you just kind of include our listeners in your heart stance and your way of landing on this topic of having the importance of having an altar of faith?
Yes. So as we were mapping these out and we came through 6 sessions, like you said, then looking back at trust, because trust isn't something we've shared, I think, throughout this has been a struggle for us in this topic, because it's topical and not, verse by verse, as we've been doing for seasons studies. But trust is something that is ongoing, and we build trust because we build relationships. It doesn't start with a built relationship. It starts with kind of a blank slate, and then we move forward and things grow. We grow in the grace and knowledge. You know, we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. And that's something that we do every day, every situation. So when it came to how do we do that, because easy to say, hard to do, I think has become my little rolling script in my head when we come to talking about trust, because we just say that like those words are enough. But over the past, I'm going to say at least 8 years for me, I've become a little bit obsessed with altar building in scripture, and not just in scripture. I've done some studying about it throughout history, ancient altars and all of those things. Anyway, recently we were at an event, and they were talking about altar building, and they were talking about the scripture in Joshua, and I think we'll get into that in a little bit, but the speaker said that altars were for remembrance, but also for teaching and testifying. And so sometimes if you think about life, your life in relationship to God and how you're building an altar to him, each stone is represented by a faith-building situation from your past. So it's struggles and tears, all the hardship and heartache that you surrendered eventually to God and laid down in your life as you continue to build the testimony, remembrance, and the teaching of what he has done for you. So as we're talking about trust, and the reason that we wanted to put this in as the next phase is because it's practical application and an illustration for understanding who God is. So we look back at this altar to remember who God is, and we remember what he's done for us, and we remember who we were. Because a lot of the altar is about our humility, our insufficiency, our inadequacy, and then God's sufficiency and God's provision and his faithfulness. So his sufficiency is strengthening our insufficiency. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. So we look back and we remember who God is, and that helps us turn forward and know who he is and step confidently into whatever it is that he has for us moving forward. So that is the faith building that helps us trust in our relationship with God. So that's why building an altar of faith is an important part of trusting.
And each stone represents every stop along that path. And some stones may look really nice, and some stones really don't look nice. But the ones that are the most beautiful are when he did the most work in sanctifying us. So when he sanctifies his kids, that's what I say, his children, it's hard. And it's a process, just like a diamond or creating something from wood. You know, there's a lot of chipping away and there's a lot of pressure. But his sanctification makes each stone more beautiful if we just trust and look back at it. And building an altar as a believer is hard in this life. It's very tough. But we can look back at each point in our life, on each point of that path, and see him so clearly in the sanctification process.
Yeah, I thank the two of you for clarification, because when I sat down to take a look at this, it seemed to me like we were, I wasn't sure where we were headed, and so both of you just did a lot of clarifying for me, and I thank you for that, because it's, I think this concept of building an altar, stone upon stone, it's a way of reminding ourselves, I think, of God's trustworthiness in our past. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, when we remind ourselves of that, that God is faithful, you know, God is trustworthy, that helps us to trust him in whatever we're facing now or what we may face in the future. So, yes, it does tie in with trust. Thank you, ladies.
Well, it goes back to the saying, I know that I spoke of it in an earlier episode, that I've clung to since you spoke it, is when we are in those fiery furnaces, when we're in those wilderness seasons where we don't understand God's hand, we don't understand his way or his will, we can cling to knowing his heart. And I think that's what this altar does. It helps us to remember. And that's a growing thing, because there can be times where I go, oh God, I trusted you with that. And then I have to wrestle with what is my expectation? Is it leaning on a promise that he made, or is it leaning on what I thought he would do? And wrestling that he really wants us to go back to, he is trustworthy. Everything that he promised, he fulfilled in Jesus. And although, Bonnie, altars might not be referenced in Proverbs 3 as you are looking for them, I did a little research, and I always like to use the resource gotquestions.org when it comes to this Bible stuff, because they put all of it, all the research in one simple little place. But it said that over 400 times altars are referenced in Scripture, and the very first one comes after the flood when Noah, and in that, I mean, think of all the things that he sacrificed and did, and trusting this plan that he couldn't yet foresee. So he wanted to mark it. And so we want to do that. And I'm sure, I don't know if it's Joshua's or where we're going to jump into Scripture a little bit here. But I do hope before we end that, and I'll give you guys a little time to think about that, you might consider sharing your own stones. And Heather, when you were talking about the stones, I don't have it written down, but I know God gave specific instructions to Moses on how to build altars. And I think there's significance, and they were supposed to be like uncut organic stones. He didn't want the polished versions. he wanted just the markers, because it is messy and trust is hard and it has jagged edges. But when placed together, and I know before we recorded, you upon the cornerstone of Christ is this beautiful thing. But we don't often have eyes to see the big picture.
I think the reason that he wanted uncut stones was holy. It had to do with holiness. Mm-hmm. Something about holiness in Leviticus. We can look that up later. Maybe put it in the references. But yeah, so I think, and I think you were going towards this, Angie. Mm-hmm. So how do altars that are in Old Testament, Jewish, Hebrew sort of tradition relate to us now as believers? And that's something that I have, I guess that's one of the reasons why I've been obsessing about it so much over the last 8 years. If you've been a part of Seasons, we actually even built an altar, mm-hmm. which was a fire ring. And we wrote on each of the stones of who God was and how his character shone through to us in certain situations or in our current situation. And a lot of different women came and they shared why God was the glue in their life, or why God was their comforter, or why God was their provider. And so I think that because the Old Testament has a lot of symbolic things like the ark, like the temple, like the sacrifices, like the blood that we have mentioned so much in the Old Testament that is then fulfilled through Jesus' blood, his righteousness, we need to take the symbolism of the altar and apply it to our lives as Christians still. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is the connector from then to now, is our life is the altar. Romans 12:1 talks about us presenting our lives as a living sacrifice. Back to our transform journey with Seasons, it's such an important part of not conforming to the world, but being transformed. And it starts with making your life a living sacrifice to him on the altar. We die to ourselves and we surrender to who God calls us to be. So back to that altar thing, and an example in scripture that illustrates this really well is the book of Daniel. I'm not going to read the whole thing because, you know, the whole book testifies a lot about faith and trusting in God and knowing him. But I'm just going to jump through it. So if you want to go back and read the book of Daniel, there's a whole lot of good stuff in there. But I want to just start with this little story about how the Hebrews were pretty much destroyed. Their towns were destroyed. People were killed. Their animals were killed. All their stuff was taken to Babylon. And then this is the point where we start the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel is written more specifically about four of the young men who were taken as captives from Jerusalem or Israel. I don't know what city they came from, but they were taken from Israel and held captive in Babylon. And it was traditional practice at the time to take the best of what that country has to offer and to bring it and use it for your good. The Roman Empire capitalized on the best of what everyone had to offer, often by taking people and then teaching them what they know, adding to what they already have to offer. So here are these four young men who are fit, healthy, smart. They're described as without blemish, good appearance, of royal family nobility. This is Daniel 1, starting in verse 3. They had an understanding of literature and language. So they were brought into Babylon, and they were beginning this transition, I guess, into the Babylonian culture. And one of the transitions was to give up their kosher diet and to take on this Babylonian diet. But because Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah did not want to do that, they wanted to honor God, they wanted to honor their faith and be obedient to him, they put some resistance back and said, well, we don't want to do that. That's not the way our religion works. So then they are tested and they challenge the military, I think it is. And the military then makes their soldiers go through this. And after 10 days, they found they were stronger and they were healthier and they were better off. So this was a stone in the altar for these four young men, because God tested them in this first situation with honoring him through the small things. In all your ways, acknowledge me. Mm-hmm. So here they are acknowledging him in their diet. Mm-hmm. So couldn't we all take a lesson from that page? Okay, so they're honoring God in that. Here's a stone, mm-hmm. and God is faithful to them. So then the military actually changes their diet to reflect this God-honoring. And then we get into Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he can't find anyone to interpret it, so he eventually ends up calling in Daniel because no one else could interpret this dream. And Daniel goes back to his three friends and says in 2 verses 17, he says, seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that we won't be destroyed along with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. And then the mystery was revealed to them, and Daniel was able to interpret that dream from Nebuchadnezzar. Another stone. Okay. And then Daniel gets separated from his three friends, and he's brought in a staff to the king. And the three friends are left hanging on their own. And that's the end of chapter 2. Chapter 3 in Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar makes this huge statue of himself, and he commands everyone to worship him. Mm-hmm. And here are these three men again. They now are translated to their Babylonian names. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing here with all of the king's court, and everyone bows down except for them. And that doesn't go over well. So they're called in, and Nebuchadnezzar is furious and says, we're going to burn you up if you don't worship me. And they say, so this is 3:17 in response to Nebuchadnezzar's threat. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. The rest of the story, there's a fourth person in the fire. God is with them. They aren't destroyed. What a testimony to the whole kingdom. The people who went in to throw them into the fire actually were burnt up. So we see so much evidence of this. And here is another stone that was built on the other two that testifies of who God is, and it testifies of the faith. So they were able to trust him in these smaller things, and then here they are in this life and death situation trusting God. So I did a lot of talking, but I wanted to give that example to help illustrate what I was talking about for us. So anyway, more, it continues. It continues in the book with one incredible thing after the other. But it's so important to trust him, and it's so important to remember the times that he has been faithful to you. And as you walk in obedience on the paths that he is making straight for you, to trust him when it seems like certain terrible situations going to result from it.
It makes me even think about his faithfulness to Israel even to this day. He is faithful to Israel. And again, they can look back at their history and see, if they really want to, the stones that are built one on top of another, and as evidence of his faithfulness to them. And Christ is our cornerstone, and he, it just mirrors the altar that we built for him. We can't have an altar without him. He is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone of the church, and he's the cornerstone of our altars that we present to him. And he's the foundation of everything, of the apostles, the prophets. The prophets, as Ephesians 2:19-22 says, and we are being built together into a dwelling of God the Spirit, which I think so mirrors the altar that is presented to God. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful how God just ties everything in together. Mm-hmm. To show he is there. He is present at the altars of the Old Testament, and he is present in the altar that we are building in our lives personally and as the church.
Yeah, we will always encourage you to go to the Old Testament, because you will learn so much about him. But just what you read, like, we become the temple, mm-hmm. the the altars in the Old Testament become our hearts. Like it's consecrating our hearts over and over of dying to self, to walk in his way, to be the church, the temple, the body, the bride of Christ. I love that. Sorry. I had to jump in because it's just all those pieces are aligning as she was talking.
They are. And, you know, Angie, you encouraged us to think of our own personal altars or to take a look at our lives. And maybe we'll get into this a little bit later. Maybe we won't. But in Joshua chapter 4, when they are at the point of about ready to cross into the promised land, chapter 4 is, you know, they are told to take 12 memorial stones from the Jordan. And then I believe in that in that chapter, it's like they are to do that. And then when your children ask, why are these stones here?
Verse 22.
You will have, you know, tell them this, and which will reflect God's faithfulness and why we should trust in God. And we can broaden that on and on. And if I look at my own personal life, and I certainly don't want to make this about me, but if I'm thinking of the stones in my life, I can't separate that from my parents because, you know, many of you have heard my dad's story of his being called into ministry and how he ran from that calling, like Jonah, until he was covered over in a coal mining accident, and that's where he submitted. If you will just spare my life, God, I will do. So that, I have to say my dad's story there is a stone in my personal, if I look back at the altar building for me, which I haven't done much of that, Becca, but I think God is telling me you need to do that. And then those early days of my dad's ministry, and I was like fourth grade, I believe, when he entered ministry, and the times when things would really get rough financially, time after time. I just remember my mother always made bread, for example, you know, and I would hear her say, as a child, I was always somewhere where I shouldn't have been to hear things that my parents didn't intend for me to hear. But, you know, mother would say to Dad, you know, Menzel, the flour bin is empty. And it just seemed, every time that happened, my dad would be maybe going to the hospital for a visitation, and he would run into this gentleman who was kind of known as the town drunk, to be honest with you. He would run into him, and Dad had worked with him in the mines in his earlier mining days, and he would say, well, and hand Dad a $20 bill. And you have to understand, back then, a $20 bill was a lot of money, and he would just say, well, preacher, I just feel like you might need this. You know, now, is that a stone in my altar to realize how it was just trusting God through my childhood and watching how God provided time after time after time up through, you know, my being able to go to college? You know, you talk about someone starting out with zero money, you know, but God provided. And so, yeah, stone upon stone and just God's faithfulness. And it's so, you know, I look at myself and it's, how could I not trust God to provide when that's the life I've lived, you know?
So to give you a little bit more language, I'm going to read a few more sentences from this article that I referenced before on what is an altar. It says that an altar was often built to commemorate an encounter with God that had a profound impact on someone. So that's what you're saying. And it also says an altar usually represented a person's desire to consecrate himself fully to the Lord. And I do think, you know, you started with saying, I don't want to make this about me, but there is power in our testimonies. Your dad telling you that story was a stone in your faith journey. In Joshua 4, he specifically says in verse 6, like, you're creating this these 12 stones so that when your generations come after and they say, what is that there for? It says so that you can tell them the waters of the, so you can testify to God's faithfulness. For me, stone, like I have little stones all throughout the house. And what I mean by that is like little marks of remembrance. It can be, I have a little badge that says she did what she could. And that reflects me back to my mom's days. And that first baby step of faith where I thought, oh, you're taking this. And I was Moses, like, what? Like, I can't do anything. But that reference of that story was so profound in one of the retreats that I went to, that she, you know, all she had to give was her heart, and that alabaster jar broken open for him just represents that, like, I'm just going to pour it all out. And there was a shift in my life, and this is not the life that I foresaw all those years ago, and I don't know what he has planned next. But another one is my Emmaus cross that says, and then your eyes were open. And so it's all these pieces. I have to visually see them because I forget. And I think that's why these altars are so important, because even when you have the profound moments of seeing God's faithfulness, there can be another war just a few steps ahead, and we forget. And so I have to place them all around my house. There was another one that I remember Becca gave me. It just said, "Your give us this day your daily bread." And it's just a simple piece, but it is what I needed. Like, God will give me what I need in this day. Like, don't look beyond that. Just trust him for this day that he will give me what I need.
I think, Bonnie, you said you haven't done that in your life, but you have. Mm-hmm. You have. I think it's just an intentionality of building that altar to remind yourself. And I think it's really important. Something that you were all talking about is how something happened in your life or someone else's life that then led you to feel differently. And I think that's an important part about the testimony in the altar building process, and just the testimony of why we need each other in the church, you know, and our attitudes of those seasons, because we can look back at those seasons and we see the Israelites doing that a lot of times, looking back with bitterness and anger and resentment towards God because they had to go through that situation of struggle or lack or, you know, need. And I think your mom could definitely have taken that situation in accusations to your father and to God and saying, we have children, we need flour. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot to ask for. But still, I think it's the attitude that we have. And that's where our reflection of the light is shining from us. You know, we want to be reflectors of God. He is light. In him is the light, and the testimony of who he is reflects through us and through our stories. So I think it's really important that we remember that we are a walking, living, breathing altar for him and a testimony. And a lot of that comes through our own attitudes towards God and our own attitudes towards the stones and the struggles in our lives. You know, to look back on those struggles with thankfulness and joy is such an important part of the peace that we have through him that passes understanding. We can use these times to give us trust to step forward, not just that we're going to get through it or not, but that we have him with us, and that makes it okay and worth it.
Mm-hmm. And I was even thinking, as Bonnie was talking about the generational faithfulness, there is something solid in that. Whether it's our parents or it's people of that generation that minister to us and put that stone in our altar. And then we look around at the generation behind us and we want to add to them, like have God use us to add to their altar, because that's what it's all about. It's like you said, shining for him, building up Christ in the lives of people around us. And we're to make disciples, right? We're to be disciples and we're to make disciples. And so that generational faithfulness, whether it comes by family or just by generation, by age, is such an important part of the altar of the church that Christ is built upon. And I just kept thinking, as you were speaking, Bonnie, generational faithfulness, how beautiful that is. And like you were saying, and they can look back on the stones and they can be reminded what happened here. And I just think that is just such a beautiful telling of Christ and his faithfulness to his people.
Yeah. Makes me think of the words to a song, "May all who come behind us find us faithful." Fire of our devotion will spark something in them. And that leads me to Psalm 18, verse 2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." That's, you know, just, and how many times is the rock or stones used in Scripture? Mm-hmm. God is our our firm foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said 400 times just to reference an altar, right? 400
yeah, times. Yeah,
that's
altar.
Just right. The altar.
Yeah, right.
It's amazing. Okay, well, that wraps up session 7. Let's pray, and then I can't wait for our last session where we just kind of wrap up this idea that never ends and wraps up. You know, it just moves forward in our lives day to day as we live it out.
Titled the summary, huh?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, especially for this session that has reminded us of your trustworthiness and how faithful you are. And Father, as we think about our past, our individual past, and just the life of the Israelites and your people and our churches today, Lord, how looking back can lead us to trusting you more, because we are reminded of those times that you have been faithful. And Father, that just the remembrance can lead to trusting you more. Thank you for loving us. And thank you, Father, for those stones and the altars of faith that we build. And Father, may we know that the foundation is based upon your Son, who is our righteousness. In his name we pray. Amen.